Calvary Community Church. My name is Ron, and I'm the lead pastor here. It's so good to have you here with us this morning as we wrap up this series called Bless This Home. And this has been really cool. I've seen a lot of families beginning to do some different things as we've kind of moved through and begun to talk about this series and the things that God wants to do, and not just in us as individuals, but in our homes. And, you know, we really had this series kind of came about through another sister church of ours. And as I was kind of studying that, it really comes to light because there is not many homes, there are not many homes where we hear the description be called blessed. We don't hear a lot of people talk about blessed homes because there's just not a lot of really good examples of that. And the problem is that we sometimes spend our time as individuals not being blessed, not doing the things that we can do to be blessed, and therefore our homes aren't being blessed. And so this whole series is about us coming together and looking at some things that Jesus said would cause us to be blessed. They're called the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes they're part of the Sermon on the Mount, this amazing teaching by Jesus. And he had this crowd in front of him, and he began really what I believe was to begin to whittle away a lot of the group. Because as he began to teach these things, he began to raise the bar. And here's what the Beatitudes do. They tell us the things that Jesus says are what bring us up to that blessed point. And so we're taking those things that Jesus said would make us blessed as individuals and just applying them to our families. That if we not only do those as individuals, but if we incorporate that into our family, into our home, then we're going to be able to see our homes be blessed as well. And so if you've been following along, maybe you've been on YouVersion already, YouVersion Live. If you haven't gotten on there, if you've got a program that you were handed when you came in, there's some instructions on how to get on there, and that's a great place to be able to follow along. We're going to put everything up on the screen, but that's a place where you can actually, on your smartphone or your tablet, just be able to keep up with the notes and be able to take it home with you and really allow it to sink in. So if you haven't used that yet, let me just encourage you to do it, because most of us have smartphones. Not all of us are smart, but we have smartphones, and it's pretty easy to do YouVersion Live. So make sure that you get on there. But here's, if you're taking notes, here's what the first, really the theme has been throughout this series, that we're not just a Christian home, but we are a Christ-centered family. If we call ourselves believers and we say that we want a home where Jesus is in charge and that he sets the bar and sets the standard for us, then we're not just to be a Christian home, but we're to be a Christ-centered family. And maybe you're thinking, if you haven't been here with us, maybe you're thinking, well, gosh, that sounds like the same thing to me. Well, let me just tell you, it's not. And just think about around us. Every day people talk about being Christians, but there's not really much evidence of that. In our country, we call ourselves a Christian nation, but quite honestly, there's not much of the Christian part left as we look at where our nation sits right now. And so, but the thing is, easy to be called Christian in our country, but yet not have Christ in the center of the things that we do. And so this phrase brings out the real importance of not just saying that we're a Christian family. It's not just about having the big family Bible on the coffee table, right? That doesn't make it your home a Christ-centered home. That makes your maybe a Christian home, but it doesn't make it Christ-centered. What makes it Christ-centered is when the leader of the household has Christ in the center of their life, and allows those in the house to also have that by following the leader's example and then seeing that happen. And so here's what we want to do today. We want to wrap up this series. We've been digging down through the Beatitudes. We've looked at some of those and just pulled out some really good ones that stand out. But today we want to continue to do that as we follow along. Now here's the thing about Christ-centered and the Christian home. We need to take that differently. We got to take it from Christian home to a Christ-centered family. We got to take the role very seriously and begin to put Jesus in the center. And here's what we're going to talk about today, because Let me just tell you, when you begin to put Christ in the center of your home, something's going to happen. Something's going to change. Let me just tell you that. Here's what it is. If you're taking notes, that if you're a Christ-centered family, that you will be persecuted. You will be. And so here's what happens. We've got an idea of what persecution looks like. And let me just say that today, I think we're gonna shed some light on what it really is and what we really live with. But you need to understand that if you're going to be a Christ-centered family, then you are going to be persecuted. I know that's not like the thing that you came here today to hear, right? You probably came here ready to hear this great message of hope and of good cheer and good feeling and all of that. Well, I think you're going to leave with that by the time we're done. But when we just start this thing off with you're going to be persecuted, I know some of you are ready to check out on me. So hang on. Don't give up. Let's dig down through this and find out what it really looks like, because Jesus said that's a good thing, that if you're persecuted. Here's where we've been. We've talked about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that people are going to laugh at us and mock us. I'm just telling you. That's what we talked about in week one, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Listen, we're trying to hunger and thirst for righteousness in an unrighteous world. People are going to look at us funny, they're going to laugh at us, and they're going to talk about us. All right, that's going to happen. Week two, we talked about blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. If you're trying to live with a pure heart in a world that really raises up impurity, that raises up things that aren't to the standard that God has set for us, listen, that's tough. And if you try to live with a pure heart in this impure world, people are going to look at you funny. They're going to look at you cross-eyed and cocked head and all of that good stuff, because you're not going to be like them. Last week we talked about blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Listen, if somebody strikes you on one cheek and you turn and give them the other one, let me just tell you that people are not going to, they're going to think weird about you. They're not going to want to understand how you can forgive someone for doing something that is even seemingly unforgivable in so many eyes. And so this whole thing about being able to be Christ-centered and understanding that persecution is going to come is a really big thing for us in the church to get, because I believe one of the reasons that the church doesn't become the church is we're afraid of what other people think. And it's not other people who are on the same mission with us. It's the people outside of here that we're afraid what they think. And let me just tell you, we got to get over that. Jesus already said that we're blessed if we follow him, if we're persecuted. That if we know that we live differently, we do things differently, we make different decisions and all that, we're going to be blessed. When we're persecuted for it, then listen, we got to be able to get over what people think. Sometimes it's just different. You know, I heard a pastor friend of mine tell the story about he moved into a new neighborhood. And so a part of that neighborhood was just getting to know. They were a very tight-knit community. And so they moved in. Every Friday night, they would have this big community get-together where all the people in the neighborhood would come and hang out together. And so they got all excited. The pastor found out, and so he and his family decided to go the following week. So they get there, and they begin to talk to different people. And one of the guys that he talks to is kind of upset, and he begins to tell the pastor, you know, not knowing what he does, he's just meeting him for the first time. He says, "Hey, these things are usually really just out of sight. We usually have a great time here. Man, we just have a big party. We hang out. Usually there's a big keg in the center, and we just drink till we, you know, half of us can't walk home. And, you know, it's just a blast. But today's going to be a little bit different." And so the pastor said, what's the difference? What's the problem? And he said, "Well, the rumor is that this week, this new pastor that moved in down the street is going to be here. And so they didn't get the keg. And we're not going to be able to have the fun that we usually have." And so the pastor said, "Really, you know?" And so they began to continue on in the conversation. And so it naturally moved to from this one neighbor to the pastor. He says, so what do you do for a living? And so the pastor answered, "Oh, I just ruin keg parties." So listen, sometimes when you are different and you don't buy into all the things that the world is offering and selling, people are going to look at you different. And no, I'm not that pastor, but I have been to parties where things were different because I showed up. All right, so just so you know. But the thing of it is that we need to understand that Jesus makes it very clear. Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. This is the eighth beatitude. This is the final one that he delivers. Here's what he says. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Some of you are thinking, wait a minute, this whole persecution thing. I've heard some of the stories about persecution in the Bible, and it was some pretty ugly stuff. And so that's what this is really supposed to be like? It could be. But we need to think about that. We need to think about what persecution really looks like, especially in our country. It looks a lot different here than it does in a lot of places. I mean, you naturally expect me to be persecuted differently than maybe you, right? Because you say, "Ron, you're a pastor." And pastors always get treated different because they're supposed to be different. And Ron, you're the pastor, and let's just face it, Ron, you're just a little weird, and so people are going to persecute you. They're going to think funny about you and make fun of you. Well, listen, if we follow Christ, we're all going to be different. We're all going to have things that aren't going to line up with the world, and they're going to want to treat us a little bit different. In some cases, they're going to want to treat us a lot different, and we need to be prepared for that. You may think of this all about the preacher being treated different. Let me just tell you, the very first case of persecution had nothing to do with preaching. Think about Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Why did he do that? Because Abel was preaching at him? No. Because Abel was living his life glorifying God. He was recognizing God and was doing the things that God had asked him to do. It was about his lifestyle, not about his preaching, not about his position. It was about the fact that Abel was ready to do the things that God asked him to do. And so listen, when we do what God wants us to do and we live the life, there's going to be people that just aren't going to want to hang out with us. And we got to be ready to be okay with that. We don't have to have an attitude about it. We don't have to have a chip on our shoulder. We don't have to be ready to argue and fight and fuss and all that stuff. We just need to be able to understand that God's called us to a place, and we need to live the life that he wants, and we'll be blessed that's what Jesus says will happen to us. And so we need to be ready to live that life. For some of us here, maybe you're a teenager. Maybe it's that you got to make a decision to protect your sexuality. That you got to be willing to protect your purity, to make a decision not to give in to all the things that society says is okay. That you got to be willing to make a decision to hold yourself at a place that will respect and honor the person that God brings into your life to be that person that completes you. Maybe it's that you're going to have to say no to some movies. It may mean that you don't go see the movie that everybody's going to see, because there may be something there that is inappropriate, that just doesn't line up with who God wants you to be, that brings thoughts and actions into your life. He just doesn't want to be there. You have to say no to some people, and somebody might laugh at you. They may give you a hard time about it, but you got to be willing to do that. That means that this one might get me some emails. That may mean that you don't put your child in that sports league because they play on Sunday. That means that maybe you got to make a decision that, you know what, I'm just not going to be part of that, because it takes us away from church and it takes us away from being able to serve and to minister and do the things that God asks us to do. People are going to give you a hard time. You mean that you don't want your 4-year-old to be, you know, the major league all-star? No. Because they're 4, okay? You know, they got time. And that it may be that they just don't have to play on Sunday to be able to do that. You know, if you have a problem with that, let me give you my email address. It's gabe@uricommunitychurch.com. Just send it to him. All right, so here's the problem, though, but we've got to be able to make some of those decisions. It's going to mean that our lives just don't look like everybody else's. Because when our lives look like everybody else's, that puts us in a place that allows things to enter in and to draw us away from God. It brings things in that begins to pull other people away from where they need to be. We need to be prepared to do those things because it's part of following Jesus. It doesn't mean that we miss out on life. That's the one thing I always hear is like, well, if I don't do that, I'm missing out on something. No, you're not. Because what did Jesus say? He says that you're blessed if you make these choices. If you live and follow him, you're blessed. I think the biggest issue is we just confuse what blessed means. We think we're blessed if we have a bunch of stuff. That if we have the magical, you know, white picket fence, the three-bedroom house, two baths, and a garage, and the dog and a half, and the kid and a half in the house, that we're blessed. And the truth is that's not what blessings are. Blessings are when we're lined up with where God wants us to be, and then he begins to use us and begins to do things in us and through us that begin to grow his kingdom. That's when we really get to understand what life is all about. So we need to be able to do this. So here's the thing. If we're going to be persecuted, though, if we're going to make choices to do it and we're going to be persecuted, then we need to set some things up. We need to get ready for it. And so we need to prepare our families to understand that persecution is coming and that we're going to face it. How do we do that? How do we prepare our families for persecution? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. The first thing that we do is that we need to expect it. You need to expect that persecution is coming. If you make choices to follow through on the standards that God set, to live it out not just in your own life, but to carry that through for your family, you need to expect that persecution is coming. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be what? Persecuted." So does that say, in fact, a few people? Does it say that? Okay, good. All right, you're still awake. In fact, some people who want to live a godly life will be persecuted. Does it say that? No, it says everyone. Well, what does everyone in the Greek mean? Everyone, right? That's what the Bible was trying, that's what we were trying to understand here. It's what Paul was writing to Timothy. He was making him understand that everyone who lives the life that Christ wants them to is going to have to, you're going to endure some persecution. Maybe laughed at. Maybe picked on. Maybe shunned. You may not be included in some things. You know what? The reality is you're never going to miss those things if you do it the way that Jesus calls us to do it. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I don't know what that's going to look like for you. It's going to look different for all of us. We're all at different places. But I don't know what it's going to look like for you. That may mean that you're going to homeschool your kids. You know, maybe as part of being different, as part of following through on not wanting to put your kids in public schools and be exposed to all the things that kids are exposed to in public school, that may mean that you make the choice to homeschool. We all know the homeschool jokes, right? I mean, we've all heard them. We probably, some of us have said them. You know, some of you have endured them. But the thing is that people don't understand and they're going to criticize you. But you can't let that distract you or take you off track of what God has said for you to do. Now, some of you have chosen to leave them in public school. That's fine too. That's great. Whatever God leads you to do is what you should do. If you do it, though, you need to know that you may be picked on. You may be criticized. But the truth is, it's not about what other people think. It's not about what other people do. It's about what God leads you to do. So you need to be ready to follow him. For some of us, it may be that at Thanksgiving dinner, the rest of the family is going to pick at you and jab at you and make fun of you because you said, hey, can we pray over the meal? I mean, something as simple as just praying over and asking a blessing at Thanksgiving could cause you to endure some persecution. Some of you have done that. You've been through that. But it could be just that simple. It could be that you don't get invited to some of the really cool parties. That you get left off that invite list. That you're not the one that gets brought in. You know, maybe you're like the pastor and you just ruin keg parties. I don't know, that may be you. But you gotta be ready for that. And you gotta be okay with that. Because you've made choices in your life to follow Jesus and to live life right. To live life the way that he wants you to. So you gotta be ready to endure that. They may make fun of you because you dress modestly. You may get picked on because you don't wear the latest fashion, but you still can be extremely fashionable, okay? It may be that you just dress the way that helps you be the most comfortable, but yet not take it to a place that draws people away from where they need to be. Whatever it may be, whatever they may make fun of you about, you just need to expect it. Now, I know this isn't the best commercial for being a Christian. It's not the best commercial for being a Christ follower. That, hey, you're going to get left out and you're going to get picked on and all of that. But listen, go back to what Jesus said. He said we'd be blessed if we are persecuted for what we follow him in and what we do. And so we need to be ready to do that. And for families, listen, if you got kids, you might want to begin to introduce them to that at a young age. You might want to bring a little bit of persecution in so that they understand what that feels like and what it's going to be like. For some of you, you know, listen, here's a decision that my family made. And we've taken a little flack over it. It's how we treat some holidays. Listen, Halloween is one of those holidays that I just don't believe that we got to buy into completely to have fun and all of that. I think you can make sure that your kids understand that Halloween doesn't have a godly origin. If you haven't studied it and you haven't researched it, why in the world are you letting your kids fall right in head first into it? I mean, I just got to be honest with you. Now, my kids trick or treat. My kids dress up. My kids go and do things. But listen, we don't decorate with creepy stuff at our house. We don't decorate them up in creepy stuff. We don't let them dress up in things that we know go against who God is and his principles. But listen, I think you can ask them. They've never had a bad Halloween. They've never missed out on the candy. I've always gotten my daddy tax on the candy. I mean, you know, it's good stuff. And so, yeah, that's right. So listen, Halloween doesn't have to be celebrated the way Halloween typically is. If you've done that, listen, I'm not banging on you. I'm not beating you up. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to bring to light that there may be decisions that we need to make that take us out of what the world says is right and put ourselves where Jesus says things are right. And even if we take a little heat for it and a little flack for it, that we can still know that God is blessing us and that he is the one who's setting us in the places that we need to be. Another one is Christmas. If you have a small child and you haven't told them this, you might want to cover their ears because I'm about to bust it up. All right? So we're honest about where things come from in our house on Christmas morning. I mean, we just always have been. I have a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old. They know that whatever comes into that house on that morning, whatever blessings are there that morning, doesn't come from, yeah, that place. I'm not going to ruin it for you, okay? But you know where it doesn't come from. And so I don't want to blow it up for you, but listen, I know this is breaking Gabe's heart because he's probably finding this out right now. But he really doesn't, he's not really there, and he's really not the one bringing it. And listen, mom and dad aren't even the ones doing it. It's because we've been blessed and we've been able to provide, whether it's a lot or a little, that the blessings don't come from some imaginary place. They come from the one who has blessed us because we've chosen to follow him. And so we need to make sure that we put things in place that allow us to be who God wants us to be. It's really not that difficult. We've set being a Christian up as some unattainable goal, and if we attain it, and if we get there, and if we live out who God wants us to be, that we're some, you know, nerd loser who doesn't get to experience anything really good in life. That couldn't be farther from the truth. Just look at me. Oh, well, maybe don't, okay? You know, so anyway, just, you know, you might think I'm a little nerdy, but that's okay, because God's been so good to me. Do I get it right all the time? Absolutely not. Do I follow him with the best that I can? Absolutely. I do the best that I can so that I get to experience the blessings that he's talked about. I probably mess up just as much as you. I mess up royally every day. But God says, though, if I seek out after him, if I go after him and do the things that he asked me to, then the people are going to pick on me, they're going to talk about me, and they may not want to hang out with me. But that's okay, because he does. And that's a blessing by itself. So we need to be able to do that. We need to bring our kids along and help them to expect persecution. The reason that it's so important that they expect it is because persecution in our country, listen, it pales in comparison to other countries. I mean, what people experience in America for being a Christian and being a Christ-centered family pales in comparison. But the reality is that it's going to get worse. And it's getting worse every day. I mean, you can just turn on the TV. And I try not to get real political. But the reality is, it's getting worse. And every single day, there's something else that's taken away from Christians and given to non-Christians. And when we say something about it, we're the bad guys. It's like we're supposed to sit there and take whatever comes at us. And let me just tell you, I think it's a sad state on the church, on me and this church and every church, if we don't at least acknowledge it and try to live above it. That even though things get taken away from us, that we live our lives knowing that we're blessed if we're persecuted. So we need to understand it's coming. But we also need to be able to stand up and say and do what we need to do to see those things stop. Here's what John says right here. Jesus said it right here in John. John recorded it. It says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. So listen, if they keep hating, you know, things keep building up and hate begins to grow against Christians, then listen, we need to understand that hated Jesus first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. So listen, those things are going to come. Stuff's going to be taken away. It's going to get harder for us to be believers and to be vocal about it and to live it out. It's going to get harder. I still don't believe we have to sit and take all of that. But Jesus says, though, when it does, you need to understand that they hated him first. Hated him to the point they hung him on a cross and allowed him to die on that cross. Now, for them, they thought that was a good thing. You know, for them, they thought that was going to take away all the things. The reality was, it was good for the rest of us. Because when he died on that cross, they're believing that now they've silenced, you know, this Jesus guy. The reality is they hung him on a cross, nailed him there. When he took that last breath, his death paid the price for our sin. It allows us to be free. It allows us to be able to live in the face of persecution. It allows us to live this blessed life because now sin has been paid for. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, now our sin is paid for because he was buried and raised again. It's not just paid for today, it's paid for all eternity. And I'm glad that two of you are excited about that. The reality is that sin has been paid for, y'all. The penalty that we're due on that, the penalty that we should pay on that is death. But because Jesus died and paid it with his death, he gave his life, The truth is that now you and I can trust him, believe in him, confess our sins, and know that he's forgiven us, and we get to live bondage free. We get to live without that. We don't have to be held back by it. We don't have to let that be the thing that keeps us from being all that he wants to be. We can now accept it, know that it's forgiven, and we can live our lives, whether we're persecuted, whether we have to go, you know, through terrible things. The truth is, in the end, we win. And that's a good place to be, because Jesus said that we'd be blessed. We need to understand that things aren't always going to be, you know, gumdrops and lollipops for us. It can be tough to live out that life. It's an easy decision to say, yes, Jesus, I know what you did for me. I accept that, and I want you to change me. That's an easy decision to make. The hard part is when people begin to make fun of you for it. You know, when I accepted Christ at age 21, man, I had the world by the tail. You know, I had everything going on, man. I was it. I had, you know, a great job. I had my own business. I had a couple girls around, you know, just here or there. You know, I had good things going on. I didn't have to worry about anything. But the reality is that when I realized who Jesus was, you know, all those people that thought I was it, all those people that hung out with me because I had stuff, all those people that were around me and really, you know, made me feel like I was something important, guess where they went? They went away. But you know what God did? He took those people away, and he brought me like 10 times more. He brought a lot of people around who didn't think I was all that, but knew he was all that, and then we could all hang around and realize that together and be able to know that we didn't have to miss out on anything. We could actually get together on a Friday night, not drink a drop of alcohol, and have an amazing time. See, up to that point, I thought that was like you started with the case, and then you built the rest of the night around it. And so what I found was you could take that out, and you could put Jesus in the middle, and he built everything around it. And it was so amazing. And so we need to understand that this life that he has for us doesn't have to be grounded there, but it can be grounded there in him. So we need to expect it. The second thing we need to do is we need to endure it. We need to endure it. 1 Corinthians 4:12 says, we work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. Listen, some of you guys work hard. You work way harder than I do. You work hard. You use your hands for a lot of things. And some of you are cursed. Some of you put up with a lot worse stuff than I have to put up with. Jesus says when we do that, we need to bless. And when we are persecuted, we need to endure it. Not, some of you are thinking, man, this stuff is crazy, Ron. It's not fair. You know, just the other day, Ron, you know, I know you want me to do this, but man, the other day, I had somebody defriend me on Facebook because I posted a scripture. Listen, you know what? If they unfriended you because you posted scripture or because you talked about God, listen, what does Jesus say? He says you're blessed. You're blessed because of it. We need to endure that. This persecution thing that we put up with around here, it's nothing. It's really light here. We might get made fun of. We may lose a friend or two. We may put up with, you know, some of that stuff. But listen, the reality is that in some countries, if you proclaim Jesus with your mouth, they will cut your tongue out. That if you tell your family that now you're a Christian, they may beat you to death. If you, at best, they're going to tell you that you're not part of the family anymore, or at least, at worst, they're going to take your life. Listen, this persecution thing is tough, but we need to endure it. And we just need to know that if we're going to be a follower of Christ, that not everybody's going to like us all the time. Not everybody's going to be our buddy. Not everybody's not going to hang out with us. And that's okay. Because Jesus says we're blessed because of it. When somebody makes fun of you for spending part of your summer on a summer mission trip instead of at the beach, you need to know that's a good thing. You need to endure it. Because God did some amazing things through our youth this week. And some of them are going to hear about it because they didn't go to the beach. Some of them may not even got a vacation, but they spent a week in D.C. feeding homeless and helping these kids, telling them about Jesus, and just being able to do some amazing things. And listen, they need to be okay with the fact that some people are gonna make fun of them. They just need to endure it. Be that man of God, that woman of God, and we just got to suck it up and take it. Because Jesus says we're blessed. The blessings are going to come on the backside of that. That you're going to be able to experience so much more. Listen, for some of us, we're going to live differently because we want to be out of debt. And everybody else is going to want you to be spending money on other stuff. And they're going to pick on you because, you're living a frugal lifestyle. But the reality is Jesus says you're blessed because you're enduring that. When you endure persecution, your spiritual roots grow deeper. When we absorb it and endure it, listen, we become more intimate with God if we allow Him to be the reason that we take on that persecution. I remember when I left the secular world and came full-time into ministry, and I remember I had a really good job. I was making really good money. I was doing what I loved to do and loved who I worked for and with. Man, it was the greatest thing. And I remember when I told people that I was leaving that to come into ministry full-time, some of the reactions I got. I mean, for the most part, it was pretty good, but I got some really negative reactions. Well, like, what in the world are you doing? You know, people get paid for that? Sort of. Do people really, do they really do that full time? Do you know what the number one question I get is? Not about my background. It's like, is this your only job? Because everybody thinks I do something else because this isn't a real job. But that was the big thing when I left that. Why are you doing that? Why are you leaving what you've got to go do that? And it was because that's what God's called me to do. It's what He's asked me to do. He's put that calling on, and there's nothing else that I can do and be happy with. And for some of us, we need to understand that living the life that God has called you to is the only thing that you're going to be happy with. You're searching a lot of different places for stuff to make you happy. And let me just tell you that following Christ and living out this life and experiencing the blessings that He has for you is the only place that you're going to really be content. You know, I learned through all that I couldn't keep living for the approval of others. I couldn't keep living so that people always said good stuff about me. I couldn't always live so that I got praises from everybody. I needed to live the life that where the one who created me is the one who lifts me up. The one who created me is the one who gives me blessings. And for all of us, we need to understand that we're going to endure persecution and we're going to be blessed by it if we hang in there. When we're a Christ-centered home, things are going to be different. When a family goes through things, how the family stands and what the family identifies with makes such a huge difference. Here's a couple points for you. That where a family identity is strong, peer pressure is weak. When a family identity is weak, peer pressure is strong. If your family knows what you stand for, if your family knows that you're a Christ-centered home, a Christ-centered family, and not just a Christian home, if they know that there is something more to being here, something more to existing as a family, then let me tell you that peer pressure is not what dominates the everyday life of your family. When your family knows that there's something there, that there's something stronger to stand for, then they can endure peer pressure so much better. As families, we need to have our identity in place. We need to make sure that our family identity is not in the stuff that we have or the place that we live or what we drive or any of that stuff. You can still have nice stuff. Listen, don't get me wrong. But of the, but your identity can't be in that. Your identity's got to be in being the Christian and the Christ-centered family that God wants you to be. That's how you overcome things. That's how our families stay tight. That's how they stay strong. But here's the cool thing. You don't just have to endure it. I mean, you got to expect it, but you don't just have to endure it. Here's what turns the dime on persecution. Here's what turns the dime is that you can not only, you can expect it, you can endure it, but you can also embrace it. And this is where it all comes a full circle. That you can embrace the persecution that you'll endure as a Christian and a Christ-centered family. In 1 Peter, Peter writes to a group of people. And the group of people is really important. Because as he's writing to this group of people, they are a persecuted bunch of believers. They are a Christ-centered group of people. And he's writing to them knowing that these people are persecuted to the point that when you proclaim Jesus and you don't go along with everybody else, they herd you into a coliseum and they turn the lions loose on you. Anybody had a lion turn loose on you lately? Nah, I don't think so. But that's what this group of people faced. And here's what he says to them in 1 Peter chapter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Listen, it's not strange when you go through persecution. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Don't be surprised when the stuff comes. Expect it, right? Don't be surprised because it's going to happen. And it's going to be part of what being a follower is. However, verse 16 says, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Listen, when we get made fun of for being a follower of Christ, we don't need to let that get us down. We don't need to be ashamed of that. We need to be able to rejoice in it. We need to be able to know that's part of just living out the life that Christ has for us. And thank God that at this point, we don't have to get fed to the lions, right? We get to just maybe, take a few little jabs and here and there. We may not get the invites. We may not get to hang out with certain people. But the truth is that we don't face anything like so many other people. And we need to understand that it's a blessing to be able to be called a follower of Christ. Praise God because you bear that name. When was the last time you just said, thank you, God, that I can be a follower of you, that I can be Christ-centered because I have a relationship with you? Listen, some of us, man, it just means, you know what? You're going to have to stay away from the bootylicious barn. You just can't go there. You just can't go hang out with the fellas down there with a few dollar bills. You just can't do it. You got to stay away from places that are going to take you somewhere that you don't need to be. You got to find a place to go and, not hang out at the places that are going to make women objects of issues that you don't need to have. You guys, you're going to have to make some choices. Ladies, you're going to have to, you might have to stay away from the sale banners, because they're gonna take you there and gonna make you do things that are gonna make you spend money that you shouldn't spend, make you spend money you don't have, and so you're gonna have to say no to the sale banner. For some of us in business, that means you're gonna have to say no to the deal because it's a little shady, and there's some things in there that you're gonna have to compromise on in your belief and following of Christ because you just can't do it. Because you know that even though you're going to say no and people are going to hound you and they're going to make fun of you and they're going to question you and everything else, you got to know that for you, that's a decision that you've got to make. And you got to be willing to embrace that and just know that, if you pass on that deal because there's something there that you have to compromise on, that God's going to bring you some other deals that are going to be way better, and you're going to be able to be blessed because of that. For some of us, we're going to look at our lives and we're going to say, man, God, this, you know, I'm trying to do what you've asked me to do. I'm trying to follow you, and all this stuff is going wrong in my life. All these people are being negative on me and everything else. Listen, the reason they're being negative on you isn't necessarily because you're doing something wrong. You need to look for that. But the reason everything may be going wrong is because you're trying to do everything right. Persecution is going to come when we try to do that. And so we got to be willing to expect it and endure it and then be willing to embrace it, knowing that God wants to work in our lives. One of the things we've had to do with our kids is to be really honest. And I've had to talk with Allie before she left. Allie's my 12-year-old. She left on the mission trip, and I talked to her about, hey, not everybody's going to like you because you're there, you know, talking about Jesus. And we've been honest in our household that, listen, not everybody likes Dad because of what he does for a living. Not everybody's going to want to hang out with Dad. We're not going to get to go to all the things that everybody else gets to go to because Dad kind of blows the theme of the party sometimes. You know, people don't like that. You know, people have their preacher talk. You know, I love to catch people when they're just, you know, before they know what I do, and they just, you know, they talk a certain way and use some certain words. And the moment they found out I'm a pastor, like, they talk like, you know, Paul in the Bible or something. You know, it's like, where'd that dude come from, you know? But, and if you know me, you know I don't get all rattled by that. Man, that just makes me want to hang out with you more because I know God's got me there for a reason. But the reality is that when we do that, I've been very upfront with my girls that we have to know that that's just part of life. It's part of being who God wants us to be, that not everybody's going to just want to be there with us. But that's okay. And listen, if you're here today and you've been struggling with this whole Jesus thing, and you've been saying, I just can't do it because I can't take what the things that people say. I can't take that people don't like me. I can't take that I got to do things differently. Let me just tell you that when you make a decision to follow him, even though you may have some negativity, listen, Jesus said, you're blessed. I'll take his blessing over somebody else's negativity any day. Because in the end, they won't be the ones who decide where I spend eternity. They won't be the ones who decide what my forever looks like. Jesus is, and he's already decided, because I made a decision to accept him, that I get to spend it with him. And so I want to do the things that he asked me to do. And you know what? I hadn't missed out on anything yet. Certainly hadn't missed out on any good meals. Certainly hadn't missed out on any good friends because I got a bunch of them in the room. Certainly hadn't missed out on people that love me and care about me because I got a bunch of them in the room. What are you afraid of missing? What are you afraid of missing out on because of following Jesus? Let me just tell you that when our homes become the homes that God has called us to, that Jesus died on the cross for, that's when our neighborhoods change. That's when our marriages change. That's when our kids change. That's when our schools change. That's when our workplaces change. That's when everything else changes around us. We've been fighting this battle trying to change everything without changing what's most important. That's us. And so today, let me just tell you, if maybe I've hit on something that hurts, if I've hit on something that maybe is part of what your life is like, if I've hit on some things that maybe have felt made you feel a little negative and a little guilty, let me just tell you that's not me. And listen, there's plenty that I can hit on for me that, you know, I've had to preach this message to myself all week. And so listen, the guilt and stuff pretty much worn off on me now because I've had to repent so much. But today, if you're struggling with this whole thing called being a Christ-centered person and family, today you can make a choice and a decision to begin to allow him to to live in your life and to come and be that center and begin to bring those blessings that he talks about. Are you hungering and thirsting in your family for righteousness? Are you trying to be pure in heart and your family? Are you accepting and understanding and expecting, enduring and embracing persecution, knowing that that's the life that he wants you to live? Listen, today is a day of decisions. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, Ron, I've never had to experience any of that because I'm just not a follower. Then listen, today you can make a decision to accept him, change by him for all of eternity. Today, maybe your family is struggling. And maybe it's struggling, though you've made a decision to follow Christ, you've just never made a decision to put him in the center of it. Then let me just tell you, today you can make that decision. Maybe today there's been things going on in your family that just have you at your wits' end. Let me tell you, whenever you're at your wits' end, guess who is there ready to take you in and make it better and begin to direct you to see these blessings come to life? Jesus. So today, what is it that you need to do? What decision is it that you need to make? Have you been missing out on the blessings because you've just been afraid to fully commit to him? And today is a day that you can do that. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for being here. In the middle of everything that we do, God, thank you so much for being here to help us in the decisions that we need to make. God, I pray that in these moments, that God, that we would not worry about somebody else's life, but we would look at ourselves and begin to examine where we are. God, have we ever made a decision to truly accept you and to live out this Christ-centered life that you want for us? God, have we chosen to put you in the center of our marriage? Have we chosen to put you in the center of our family? God, have we chosen to put you in the center of our work? God, today, may you help us make the decisions that need to be made to begin to see a difference. God, that may put us in a place that we have to endure persecution, that we have to endure being mocked and made fun of and everything else. God, you are certainly willing to allow your son to be sent to a place to be mocked and to be made fun of. And he did that for us as he gave his life for us. So God, in these moments, may we make decisions that allow us to be exactly where you want us to be. God, my prayer is that in these next few moments, as the band plays and as we are here, that God, that we'll be willing to step forward, to acknowledge that we want you in the center of our family, that we want you in the center of our lives, God, that we're willing to endure whatever it takes to do that. Knowing, God, that your blessings are there. God, may we be able to say that we are blessed because we're willing to follow you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And just keep your head bowed and your eyes closed for a minute. What I want to invite you to do as the band plays is just to be in prayer. I want you to pray what it is that God wants you to do. And then as they play, I want to invite families to come together and pray together. Dads, I want to invite you to be the leader. Bring your family forward and just pray together. Not to make a show, not to impress the preacher or to impress the crowd, but just to truly come and get on your knees and pray. Ask God to show you what he wants for your family. If you're here and you're single, if you're here and you're alone, your spouse isn't here, then feel free to come and pray. But today is a day that the hope begins for our families, for our church, and for our community. We truly seek him out and are willing to endure whatever comes our way, good or bad. May we just be willing to be followers of